to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, September 12, 2021, by Eric Williams. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's an interesting quirk of human nature that we tend to only hear what we want to hear. I've noticed that in parenting, what my kids actually heard me say as opposed to what I said. And if I think back, it was the same when I was a kid with my parents. We filter out the stuff that we don't want to hear. We only take in what seems to fit with our view of the world. Everything else kind of is background noise. I think that's what was happening when Jesus was talking with his disciples. He was telling them about who he was. You know, they had followed him. They had left their nets and followed Jesus because they saw in him the authentic voice and presence of God. There was something about Jesus that just grabbed them, and they wanted to follow him. And they watched him heal and perform miracles, and they listened to him as he taught about the kingdom of God, and their hearts were set on fire, but they only heard part of the message. So Jesus is doing a little pop quiz today. He says, who do people say that I am? What's the buzz on the street about me? And people said, oh, some people think you're John the Baptist reincarnated. Some people think you're another one of the prophets. There was an idea that Elijah was going to come back as the Messiah. Maybe you're one of the prophets. And he said, well, okay, who do you say that I am? And suddenly, I imagine there were crickets. And then Peter, impetuous Peter, jumps in. You're the Messiah. Right answer. You got it. But keep it quiet for now. Then things turn, right? Peter's the hero, and suddenly he's the goat. Because in Peter's mind, and in the mind of the other 12, or the other 11, Messiah meant something very specific. Messiah meant the winner, the hero, the leader who would bring back the glory days of the kingdom of Israel. All summer we were reading about King David and King Solomon, those wonderful stories about the golden age of the kingdom of Israel. That's what they thought of when they heard Messiah. But Jesus says, hang on, I think you've got the wrong idea. If you want to follow me, the Son of Man is going to suffer. The Son of Man is going to be rejected by everybody. The Son of Man is going to be arrested, tortured, and executed in the most brutal and humiliating way possible. The Son of Man, in the eyes of the world, is going to be the biggest loser possible. Well, to say that Peter was nonplussed is to put it mildly. He literally could not take that in. He couldn't grasp what Jesus was saying, and so he grabbed Jesus and says, you can't talk that way. And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. He's not calling Peter the devil, okay? Satan was an old word in the Old Testament that meant like the prosecuting attorney, the obstacle, the opponent. And he says, Peter, you followed me. Don't now become an opponent. Listen to what I'm saying. Take in the whole message, not just what you want to hear. Listen to the whole message. In the future, Jesus would have to repeat this prediction three times, that he was going to go through this terrible time of trial because they couldn't hear it. I think this is a critically important lesson for us because human nature has not changed one bit from the time of the disciples and Peter to our time. We too hear what we want to hear. We can only take in what we want to take in. I've been meditating a little bit this summer on the increasing levels of anger and anxiety that I feel in society. Maybe you felt it too. I watch people, I was telling Rad this week, I watch people, I've never seen this before, they come up to a red light and then they just go through it. That was shocking to me. I was like, I've never seen that before. Or I see demonstrations all over the place, people just red in the face and angry. Angry about mandates, angry about vaccine mandates and mask mandates and what's going on in school and what's going on in businesses. There's just this sense of deep anger and anxiety. So I was trying to figure this out. Where is this really coming from? What is going on? And I remember I was reading an article about sort of the psychology of what might be happening. And this person pointed to an issue which I hadn't really thought about, which is anger. I mean, we often think when we go through a loss, a beloved family member dies, and we think of sadness, we expect to be sad, right? But there's another emotion that often comes in with it, and that is anger. Grief, deep grief, can cause all kinds of surprising reactions, things we're prepared for and things we're not. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, in her seminal book on death and dying, talked about the stages of grief, and she said, these are the types of things, you don't all go through all of them, but denial, right? Denial is an initial response when we're shocked by something. Well, what was Peter doing to Jesus? He was denying what Jesus was saying because he couldn't handle the idea of the loss of Jesus, the humiliation, the death of Jesus. And so he was in denial. We all go through that in one way, shape, or form. I see that in our response to this terrible pandemic. Maybe it's not real. Maybe it's all made up. Or we blame. Maybe it's the fault of the government or the Chinese or who knows. We want a scapegoat. We find someone to be mad at and dump our anxiety on that person. These are all natural human responses to grief. Grief because of the terrible suffering that we've gone through. I think of families with kids and teachers and healthcare workers, people who have lost members of their family or friends, people who have lost jobs or livelihoods or finances or just the normal way we go about our lives. This disruption has caused grief for all of us, and that grief is manifesting in some interesting ways and some often unhelpful ways. So denial and anger, lashing out. We want control back over our lives. Anger is a way to do that. There's also a kind of depression that can set in. And boy, I felt that over the past year at various times. I've gone through a kind of roller coaster ride of being really positive and excited. And boy, I was really hoping that by Startup Sunday, September 12th, everything would be back to normal, no more masks, full participation, and then the Delta variant. And that's what really got me depressed this summer. I thought, can we never get through this, right? I thought we were making progress. I worked on my denial, I worked on my anger, but then this kind of just malaise, this depression set in. How do we cope with these things? How do we deal with grief in ways that get us through these challenging emotions and move us to something more positive? Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in constant denial. I don't want to live in constant anger. That is toxic. You can feel it corroding you, like you've been drinking. I don't know, sometimes if I drink too much lemonade in the summer, you get that acid stomach. Has that ever happened to you? I feel like anger is like that. It's just acid sitting in your system and corroding you from the inside. And I certainly don't want to live in depression. So where is the antidote? How do we focus ourselves in a new way? How do we hear the words, not only that we want to hear, but the words we don't want to hear? How do we integrate them into our lives? How do we work through grief and come to a sense of wholeness? Not that we ever completely get over grief, because grief is a form of love, right? When we grieve for something, it's because we love. But how do we move that into a more positive space? Our other scriptures give us some ideas. James hilariously talks about how anger can be destructive. The tongue is on fire. I love that, the fiery tongue. I mean, if you ever said something and then immediately wished you could have unsaid it, you were just in the heat of the moment, you weren't in your best space, someone surprised you or hit you with something, and you just, that tongue came out and attacked. I think if we were to reframe James's epistle today into modern parlance, it would be something like this. You kiss your mama with that mouth? Right? That's the wounding. That's the wounding that anger can produce. And James is like, no, you got to tone that down. That is not how the Christian community should be. But again, how? How do we stop doing that? Well, Proverbs, I think, points us to the right direction. Manifestation of God in holy wisdom. Wisdom is the capacity that we are given by God to integrate what's going on in our lives, to ground ourselves in the presence of God, and to be able to move forward in a positive way. Actually, Proverbs is laughing or frustrated that people aren't getting wisdom. But I think we can learn the other lesson, which is wisdom is possible. Wisdom to take what the world throws at us, all of the losses and the challenges, the frustrations of getting old and our bodies falling apart, or dealing with illness or the death of loved ones, or just the frustrations of pandemic life, which doesn't seem to end, and to be able to channel that into a positive direction. It comes from grounding ourselves in God. Jesus said, if any want to follow me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. To deny ourselves is not to wallow in self-destructive, thoughts, not to tear ourselves apart, but to lay aside, to cope with and to deal with those emotions, and then to lay them aside and to invite the presence of God. We need to ask ourselves, as we react and respond to the challenges of life, to the pandemic, to the issues of our own personal lives, is what we are saying and doing more like James' behavior with that wounding tongue, where we're just reacting with anger and unconsciously hurting? Or are we responding to the best of our ability in love? Is what we're reading and listening to, is what we're meditating on, is that leading us towards God and love, or towards anger and anxiety and even hatred? For us to focus ourselves in a positive direction, we need to invite holy wisdom, God's presence, God's love, God's mercy into our lives, to let that shape and form us. It's why we come to church. I mean, today it's for tacos. But typically on Sundays, we come to church to be fed not with tacos, but with the body of Christ, the presence of the living God. We rehearse these ancient prayers and creeds and songs because we know that that is the antidote. That's what grounds us in the presence of God. We come to the sanctuary as a place of peace to be still and know that God is with us. And in this ritual, in this fellowship, we find, hopefully, the pieces that allow us to gain in wisdom, to grow in love, to overcome denial and anger and depression, and to come finally to a sense of wholeness and acceptance, taking up our cross with joy to serve in the ways that we are able. Today in your bulletin, I put a little bookmark. A couple years ago, the vestry worked on a mission statement, a kind of a clarifying of who are we at St. Philip's? What are we doing here? What's the purpose of all this? And after a couple of years of pandemic life, we thought maybe it'd be good to refresh our memories about what we're doing on this Startup Sunday to renew ourselves and our sense of mission and purpose. What does it mean for us here in this place to take up our cross and follow Jesus? It is to feed and to be fed. That's what we've determined. Many years ago, the church came up with that, St. Philip's Feeds. If you're new, you probably wondered what our website was about. STP Feeds? Even trying to tell people what that is and spell it out, they're like, what is that? STP Feeds? St. Philip's Feeds. That's been our motto for decades. And as we reflected on that, the vestry said, we don't want to change that. We think that is still our mission, to feed in the name of God, to be fed by God, and then to feed. It's both ways, right? And we feed in many ways. We feed on the body of Christ, the living presence of God. And then we feed others in mind and in body and in soul and in heart. I invite you to take that bookmark home with you and think about it. What are the ways that that makes sense in your life? How have you been fed in and through the ministries of St. Philip's? And how might you participate as we begin this new program year in feeding others in the name of Christ, both our parishioners and then our wider community? How might we be agents of God's love and mercy to help people find that holy wisdom, to be fed not on anger, but on love? Not on denial, but on acceptance. Not on hatred, but on the abiding and surpassing love that we experience and so want to share with a hurting and broken world. May that be our focus in this coming year, and may we all find ways to live that out in whatever ways we are able. Amen.